I invite you to put your books and papers to the side, to breathe here in this moment. Nancy Schaeffer says that when breathing, we might hear each other breathing. And remember, it is the sound we make when we sleep. The whole world. Spirit, that word means breath. So I invite you to breathe in spirit and breathe out spirit, the sense of connection and wonder, gratitude and possibility, sympathy and love, which connects us all to each other, to the holy beyond our names. Let us breathe. With thanksgiving for what is beautiful, hope for what might be better, compassion for what hurts, our heart expands. May we be filled with the love beyond naming this day and every day. Amen. Tuesday is Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday. And so I was doing a little thinking, research this week about the origins of Mardi Gras. It's a very interesting conversation, different stories about it. And one of the primary stories, why do we eat all this rich food on Mardi Gras? Well, because the cooks have to get rid of all that stuff that won't keep during Lent. So the eggs and the milk and all this butter, we got to use it all up on Mardi Gras. So thus pancakes, right? Pancake Day. Some of you grew up eating pancakes on Mardi Gras. It's a tradition in some parts of the world and the country. I told my kids that Mardi Gras, Pancake Day, so we're having pancakes on Tuesday. They're very excited. It's the little things. It's the simple things. Pancakes for dinner, you bet. So you get rid of, you use all this stuff, right? And this holiday grows. Of course, Carnival is part of this. And you have a big celebration, and you drink to excess, and you have a great time. And then Wednesday, you go, and Lent begins. 40 days, and you stop doing the things so that you remember, hopefully, how much things are gifts. The idea being that you, on Lent, you kind of get it out of your system a little bit, and then you can focus. The eggs and the lard might feel good for a moment, but every day, maybe not the best choice. The idea being that our real desire is deeper than what we get out of our system. Our real desire in the theological system is to be closer to God, to be right with the holy, for a spiritual connection and a life of purpose. That's Tuesday, Mardi Gras. Tuesday, of course, is also the day of the New Hampshire primary. So some might, later that evening, drink to excess and repent the next day. Could happen. And one hopes, even, that perhaps we might get it out of our system. The gluttony and the anger and the self-righteousness that might be out of our system. We might wake up Wednesday with a new attitude, that the time for dangerous xenophobia and transphobia and homophobia, for outright racism and sexism, we might get it out of our system, repent, and start living in line with our real desires. Can we say that as a nation we got it out of our system and we're ready to be more serious? That would be nice. What do we really want? That's the question. What do we really want? Do we want to feel righteous, or do we want to feel loved? Do we want to be perfect, or do we want to be real? Do we want to live in fear and anger, or do we want to open our doors to hope? What do we really want as a nation, as a people, as individual people, as families, and for our region, for our church? What is our true desire? Where do we want to put our heart, our tender and fragile heart, Where shall your heart be? Where shall your heart be? The story, as recounted in the Gospel according to Matthew, not me, some other guy, the story is that he climbs the mountain, the mount, and speaks. Blessed are those who thirst. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are merciful. No, not those who already have everything. That's the way some people think. Blessed are those who've already won. But Jesus says, in fact, no, those who desire. Who desire to be holy, to be loved, to love others. Those who desire are the blessed. He goes on. He says, don't pray for show. Pray for your own heart. And he says, let me teach you the words. That part rhymes in Aramaic, which means he probably really did say it. May the will of God be done. Forgive us. Help us forgive others. Some of you know it by heart. And he goes on in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, these are the words that are titled today, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is this about money? In part, it is about money. It's the Sermon on the Mount, but when it comes to stewardship season in the church, sometimes we call this the Sermon on the Amount. How much? So yes, it's partly about money, but it's also much more than that. As our reverse offering was intended to show, if it is just money, then that's not real. What about your other treasures? Your time, your care, your attention, your service, your love, your presence. Those things matter much more. What about these treasures? Where do you put them? In fame and power, in anger and fear, in material objects which fade away? Or do you put your treasures, as the poem says, in living acutely? I do memorial services. Part of the job, a great privilege. We remember people. I hear their stories. I tell the stories back. So there's the question of what does it mean to live acutely? How are we to be remembered? What do we leave behind? What do we take with us? There's a good story. A rich man is quite distressed over the prospect of not being able to take his riches with him when he died. Really worried. And so he went to his minister and said, I can't take those riches with me. I've worked so hard for all this money and I can't take it with me. And so they prayed about it and they prayed about it and they were given the solution. So before he died, the wealthy man went to his bank and he loaded up a suitcase with gold bars, full of gold bars. And so then he died and he got to take the suitcase with him and he appeared at the pearly gates and the suitcase in hand. And St. Peter asked, what do you have in the suitcase? And very proudly, the man opened the case. Look at all these gold bars. And St. Peter said, you brought pavement? Right, because the roads are paved with, you get it, right? You don't get to take it with you. We're universalists. We believe we don't know the direct answers or anything like that, but you don't have to worry. Be fine. And that means also you don't have to take it with you. You don't get to take it with you. But you can live so that your generosity is exalted. So let me ask, how do you want to be remembered? How might it be that years beyond your longest winter, your generosity might still be exalted? For you who asked so much of life, who lived acutely even in duress, the brimming world awaits your signature. Lived so acutely. That's our desire. This is it, right? This is what we want, to live so that we are alive. And this is why you come to church. I know it is because you tell me that it is. My favorite thing to do, one of my very favorite things to do, is the new member group. We had one just last Wednesday. We do this every few months, and folks say, why are you here? What brought you here? Tell us your story. And every time, the specifics are very different. But there's something at the heart of each story, desire. I desired more inclusion, more truth, more love, more community, more freedom. I desired something and I could not find it until I found here. I love Nancy Schaeffer's poem for this church. It begins with desire, our desire to be touched, to stand next to each other. I know that for some folks at the moment that will come in a minute when we hold each other's hands and sing the benediction, that will be the only time that someone holds their hand this week. We desire to be held, to stand next to each other, to live acutely, and for this house to be a place that trains us and supports us to do that, to be a place where we do that and practice and get better at it. That's what we do here, what we try to do here. To live acutely, to live fully. So I want to know, have you ever cried in church? Sometimes people apologize, say, I cried. I say, it's church, you're allowed to cry in church, it's okay. You let tear water clean what words themselves cannot. Have you laughed in church? I know you have, because I just saw you do it. Let go of pretension, shake it off a little bit. The Sunday school teacher was just finishing a lesson on honesty. Do you know where little boys go if they don't put their money in the collection plate? The teacher asked. Yes, ma'am, a boy blurted out. They go to the movies. My kids thought that was funny, too. It's good. Have you learned in church? Have you learned about this world that we share together? Learned about science or anti-racism or different world religions or human sexuality? Have you learned those things, or have your children learned those things here? To love and be loved in return? Have you discovered something about yourself? Gifts you did not know that you had, that you stretched and learned, your passion, your core values that you take out into the world? Have you encountered the holy? The list of names not ever finished. God chuckling as we keep adding, we'll never get all the way there. Have you encountered the holy? Have you? Other folks built this church. 50 years ago, this building was built. Some of you were here then. You helped. You helped pay for it. You helped do it. But most of us came after that. And it was on February 3rd, of 1841, just a few days ago, 175 years ago, February 3rd, 1841, that a group of people gathered for the very first time in Rockford, Illinois, to organize a Unitarian church. Men and women gathered in a room. They drew up some bylaws. They elected some officers. They said, we shall have a church for liberal religion in this western town. They built it for us. Could they imagine that you would come to this church 175 years later with your tears and your laughter to learn and to grow and to serve and to love? Could they imagine that you would bring your heart here, your treasure here? Of course they could. They could and they did. They pledged their wealth and their time and their talent and their heart to the enterprise of free and liberal religion. They did it for you, who they did not know but imagined. We give thanks for this time we share. We give thanks. And thus we are called from our gratitude to give in return. Take care of this house so it shall be a home for us all. May we always have enough room for the many who desire to be here. May we notice the one who is new and invite her to stay. When you're asked to make your gift this year, I ask you to imagine. Imagine 175 years from now when this church celebrates its 350th anniversary and the people who might be here. And I ask you to be in touch with your most real desire, the desire to be real, to be touched, to be held, to be home, to put our tender, fragile heart in good care. Together we share, and by this we live. By this we live, by our sharing, by our giving of our true selves, all of our gifts. What's your most real desire? Is it the desire to be shiny and famous, to have power? Or is it the desire to consume all the lard and all the eggs on Mardi Gras? Or under that, is there something deeper? A desire for community, for service, for connection, to live acutely and be remembered for extravagant generosity. Tycho, the bird, thought that he wanted more than anything to fly golden wings, and he got his golden wings, but it turned out that his heart wanted something different, to connect with those that he was generous to and with the other birds, to connect, to not erase his difference, but to be connected. We gain our real wings when we give away the golden ones. From a place of gratitude for those who go before, for those who gather here with us, for the gifts of life, from a place of gratitude we begin. And we touch our deepest desires for justice for all the world, for love for ourselves and for others, no one left out, for a life of meaning, worthy of memory, for joy, for tears that clean and welcome that includes. Our heart longs, we desire, with gratitude for what is, when desire for what could yet be. We're called to these lives of generosity, of service, of giving, to put our treasure, our gifts, all of them, our golden wings, our time and our spirit, to put our treasure where we want our heart to be. Where do you want your heart to be? In the well-lived life, in this house and its mission, in the purposes of love and mercy and wonder, that we might live acutely, fully, for real, this day and every day. May it be so. May we make it so. We're going to sing together. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. It's 318 in your gray hymnal. We would be one. Let's sing.